Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit show with John Sandy IV, Amy Tarkanian, and Alex Goff. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Heidi Gansert says she'll be a champion for women. Oh, really? Gansert sides with the insurance industry and repeatedly voted against protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Those with asthma, diabetes, high blood pressure, and even COVID survivors would be at risk. And Gansert voted to criminalize abortion, putting doctors and women in jail. That's no champion. That's a sellout. For state Senate, vote no on Heidi Gansert.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're taping this on Monday morning, October 19th. It's an all-pundit show. We have a great lineup for you. John Sandy IV is here, principal with Argentum Partners, Amy Tarkanian, former Republican State Party chair, and on just about every political network around the world, and Alex Goff, the Democratic National Committeeman. Welcome to you all. Amy, let's start out with you. The president yesterday had a rally in Carson City. Your thoughts on the rally, and what does it say about Nevada being in play that the president and several family members are going to be in Nevada this week?
Well, they should have some internal polling that shows that they are in play, or else I don't think that they would be focusing so heavily on our state the way that they are. The RNC chair actually tweeted out that there was roughly over 15,000 people that had signed up for that particular rally. Out of those 15,000, 18.4% weren't Republican, and 30% actually didn't even vote in the 2016 election. So that enthusiasm is very promising. However, I do have some connections on the inside that say they still believe that the president is not going to take Nevada. It's still going to be a nail biter. But if you do look back at a group called the Trafalgar Group, they actually correctly guessed the 2016 election, saying that President Trump was going to be elected and that he would receive 306 electoral votes when he ended up winning 304. So they're predicting another win overall for the president, but that he would receive anywhere from the high 270s to the low 280s for electoral votes.
John, you know, on Meet the Press, they laid out three scenarios for the president to win, and one of them did include Nevada. So it appears that we are still in play as a battleground state.
To me, it is a little surprising, and I agree with Amy that their internal polling must show that Nevada is up for grabs if they're going to spend that much time and resources in the state. I like I said, I'm a little surprised. I thought Nevada would probably be pretty easily go Biden after Hillary took it in 16. Not a lot's changed in my opinion from now to then, but But it's interesting where this is going, and I agree. I mean, the president, if he is going to win again, is going to have to pick up some of those battleground states, just like Nevada. So it makes sense that they would be spending resources.
So to all of you, but I'm going to direct the question specifically to Alex. You know, we're still doing the same thing we do every election cycle, which is we're battling over 5% or less of the population that have not yet made up their mind.
So what I would say is that I think the Trump campaign probably feels a little bit of confidence in a lot of the uncertainty, right? COVID's brought a lot of uncertainty because of job displacement. A lot of people are out of work. A lot of people maybe are moving out of the state for looking for work in other states, if that's even a possibility this time. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and they're trying to capitalize on that by saying that possibly Nevada, because of its unique situation being mostly a gaming economy, that maybe a lot of people will be frustrated and either stay with the president or maybe not turn out at all, right? So that creates the possibility of winning. It's interesting always hearing people discuss the state of play, because being on the side where you see a lot of the mechanisms, and I know Amy knows about this on the other side, about what goes into how you actually turn someone out, as you say, the 5%, but even the number of Democratic voters that turn out, there's a lot of work, a lot of mechanisms behind the scenes that go into that. And a lot of that's been altered because of COVID, because of knocking on doors and being able to contact people in different ways. And so I certainly feel a lot of uncertainty going into this election. Chairman Tom Perez was here last weekend, and we kind of discussed with him a lot of the uncertainty. And it's important that we still use the ability that we have to reach voters, but it's certainly a lot different this cycle.
One of the things that got President Trump elected in the first place, Amy, was the fact that a number of Republicans and Democrats felt disaffected by the leadership in both parties, and they were looking for somebody different who was not part of the system. Do you feel that that is still the same this time around?
I do, but we also have to remember that we register voters differently now, where we use the DMV. So if you overlook that one little box on where you want to check as far as party affiliation, you automatically get put into the nonpartisan. So that is the largest, fastest growing party affiliation that we have here in the state of Nevada. Democrats still are in the lead with Republicans trailing. So it's going to be interesting to see where that small percentage, or actually it's not small percentage, where that percentage actually leans this go around. And then also too, McCain lost our state by 12, Romney lost it by 7, and then Trump lost it by 2. We all know he doesn't like to lose. So that could be another reason why he's putting in so much time and effort and finances into our state.
John, one of the things that I thought was interesting from what Alex said was in the Great Recession, we saw construction workers leave the state. There was no construction work, they were gone. This time around, it's not construction workers, but it's people in the social industries that are the ones that are out of work. There is nowhere for them to go.
Absolutely, and you know, construction workers are staying. There's still a lot of homes being built, a lot of construction jobs here in the state. But it's those workers that work in the resorts. A lot of them have had to go leave to find employment elsewhere. And so I think the pundits that are kind of watching this, trying to predict elections and look at things, are definitely noticing that the Culinary Union has had tremendous sway in being able to get out the vote and do things in a more traditional election cycle, where they might not have that ability to do it quite the same because of COVID and because of the ramifications that have come, and I think that's a factor that a lot of people are looking at to see where this election may go.
Alex, the culinary less involvement here?
Well, no, I mean, listen, I think the culinary still, has a lot of connection to their members, and therefore it's about relational organizing. So their members know people in the community, and that's how it kind of builds out. Culinary Union is still going to be a strong force in our state, but ultimately it's the volatility of the people when they actually go into the ballot box and decide, what direction they want the country to go in, with things being so uncertain. And volatility, I think, is an interesting measure if you were someone like Donald Trump, who's been a very, I think he likes a little bit of volatility. I think he likes
really?
A little bit.
Never noticed
right,
that.
Right. I'm breaking news here on the news. But I mean, I think the volatility probably creates, something that he certainly and his team certainly look at as a possibility that, when you're in the voting booth, what direction are you going to decide to go in? And right now with things undetermined, I mean, it's not questionable that, COVID would have wrecked whosever administration this would have been, right? So people may look at that and say, he was doing well before or whatever, so.
Amy, money is always a big thing in politics. And, you know, I remember when Senator Reid was still in the Senate, I interviewed him in D.C., and it was his last election cycle when he was there. And he was complaining about the Koch brothers and how much money the Koch brothers had donated to the Republican cause. And I said, you know, the Democrats have at least as much, if not more money than the Republicans do in this cycle. And he told me at the time, and semi-joking, that I was being cynical. But the reality is that Democrats have put a ton of money into this election cycle. But the Republicans, you know, it seems like they're still trying to catch up at this point, with the president still doing fundraisers, going down to Newport Beach this weekend. So, you know, is there a chance in this last 2 weeks for the president to catch up?
I don't know if he necessarily needs to catch up. More money doesn't necessarily equal success. You had Hillary Clinton already outspending Donald Trump at this point in 2016. And the fact that you see somebody like Mike Bloomberg, you know, piling a bunch of money into a state like Florida to focus on the Hispanic vote. I know here in Nevada, Vice President Biden also poured in a bunch of money to focus on the Hispanic vote. But I don't believe that's going to be necessary. I think that the president is just more focused on keeping his base energized and focused on nonpartisans and independents.
John, the discussion about the Hispanic vote has been going on for a long time. Is this the year that they become a major player? And from the Hispanic folks I talk to, it seems like they're fairly evenly split between the president and Joe Biden.
So, the first part of your question is, yes, I think that, the Hispanic population has only been increasing, and I do get a sense that they want to get more engaged in the process, and so I think they are going to have a tremendous influence on the election. I don't know if, in my opinion, they are split necessarily. I think the Democrats have done a very good job of trying to capture, have a platform that appeals to the Hispanic population in their vote, and I think they could possibly capitalize on that.
Interesting fact from my other side of my business is that Telemundo in Las Vegas has increased their news department to 30 people, which is a huge news department in these days, versus Univision that only has 5 people in there. Are you getting feedback of what the response is to the news coverage now?
No, I have not received. That's a very interesting fact. That's very interesting information. I think that this cycle, it's interesting because the Republicans certainly try to appeal to Latinos and Hispanics with issue-oriented advocacy, right? So something like school choice is something that they believe has a little bit of salience in that community, saying that you should be able to choose where you go to school. But as far as the candidates that they promote, it seems that maybe they don't buy off on the candidates necessarily, even though they may buy off on the issue. So that'd be an interesting thing to kind of traverse as we move forward, is that do eventually the issue sets line up to where that can ultimately have them supporting a candidate. And secondly, earlier about the nonpartisans that were brought up, there was a study that I read that it shows that in the 50s, strong partisans are just as likely today as nonpartisans to vote for a single party. And so some of these nonpartisans that you may believe vacillate between parties aren't necessarily that way. They're partisans, but maybe they are, for whatever reasons, as Amy talked about the DMV, maybe they don't register with one part or the other, but they're strong partisans. So, I mean, that's what political parties do. They identify those people, give them the information about who the candidates are and when they need to vote, and get them to the polls. And so, it'll be interesting to see how effective each party is this cycle of doing that. It looks like a lot of people are voting, so.
To say the least. And Amy, just a quick one here before we go to break. You don't have Gary Johnson in this race at the Libertarian Party or the Green Party, so that really is honing things down.
Yes, and there's also a recent Rasmussen poll that actually showed that the Republicans are gaining traction also with the African-American demographics. So Joe Biden has actually slipped some, where it showed he had 69% and Republicans had 19%. And then for the other category, which would include Hispanics and Asians, they were tied 45-45 to support your comment saying that, that they are neck and neck. So that is true. You are correct on that. And then I also found it very interesting. I saw an article this morning where the Republicans actually have 27 African-Americans running for office. That's huge.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this timeout.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino, all new DC cafe and bar, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Heidi Gansert says she'll be a champion for women. Oh, really? Gansert sides with the insurance industry and repeatedly voted against protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Those with asthma, diabetes, high blood pressure, and even COVID survivors would be at risk. And Gansert voted to criminalize abortion, putting doctors and women in jail. That's no champion. That's a sellout. For State Senate, vote no on Heidi Gansert.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino, all new DC cafe and bar, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have an all-pundit show, and it's a great one going here. Alex Goff is here, John Sandy IV, and Amy Tarkanian. So, Amy, CD3. Looks like there is quite a battle going on there between Susie Lee and Big Dan Rodemeyer, the wrestler. Where do you think this one is heading?
Well, I posted on social media about this particular race the other day, and I made some people not very happy, but I was being honest. I think that Susie Lee's ads are brutal. Pointing out, you know, his barroom brawl, the fact that his now wife, but at that time, girlfriend called 911 multiple times. And then the fact that now she's having to do her own ad and rebuttal, it doesn't look good for him. There hasn't been any public polling that has been shared, but once again, the people that have seen some numbers privately have shared with me that it's most likely gonna go back to Susie Lee.
You know, the thing that's been shocking to me a little bit is the amount of fundraising that Susie Lee has been doing from the get-go, but especially now in the last month or so. This is a huge money race now.
It has been, and I think she needs it too. I mean, I've been impressed by Dan's campaign. I mean, he does have a lot that you know, negatives that Susie's going to be able to attack him on, but she needs that money to go on TV and run the campaign that she needs to, because Dan's been putting a lot of work into it and has really, you know, surprisingly made that a race, because the registration in that district wouldn't think it would be as close as this is.
But it is one of the districts that was designed to be a swing district.
Absolutely. If you look at the history of that district, I mean, going back to Congressman John Porter to Congresswoman Dina Titus, Congressman Joe Hack, and now Congresswoman Susie Lee, I mean, it's very, it's right in the middle, I think, of the state, right? the person that occupies that seat. The thing I've always looked at the entire cycle is the poor candidate recruitment. I think that there are some better candidates probably running legislative races than Dan Rodmeyer, but unfortunately they put up Dan Rodmeyer. And if you look at the Republicans that have always run that race, I feel like Dan Rodmeyer is kind of an outlier almost of someone who maybe isn't up to that standard. I think Susie Lee is a strong candidate. And I think that she'll win the race. Now, how close it'll be, I think that might be a condition of the voter registration in the district. But I think Susie Lee would have to be the favorite to win.
All right, so CD4 then, Stephen Horsford, Jim Marchant. Stephen Horsford seems to have gone past any personal issues in this campaign. Obviously has a lot of money behind him, but Jim Marchant is not giving up.
No, and he's going to keep fighting till the very end. And he's out there and he's campaigning, he's working hard. But once again, I know this district pretty well. My husband ran the first time that it was drawn, and my husband won the entire district except for two state senate areas. And one of them was Stephen Horsford's former state senate district. And then there was one adjacent to it. And I'll tell you, it was enough votes, obviously, for him to not win. I don't see Jim Marchant winning this. I know that's going to make people very unhappy to hear me saying that, but I'm being honest.
John, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, Jim is putting up a fight. I heard on TV when President Trump was here yesterday giving him a plug. So, I think he's going to put up a fight, but Stephen Horsford in that district is too tough of a candidate for Jim to beat him.
I think this is what's interesting to me, is that as we start looking race to race about what's going to be competitive, what's not, I mean, it trickles up and it trickles down, right? For Joe Biden not to do well in Nevada, then you would have to assume that Congressman Horsford or Congresswoman Lee aren't going to do well either. But I think that a lot of people accept that they'll probably do well, right? I think that Congressman Horsford is a strong candidate for that district. As Amy kind of outlined, I think structurally it suits Congressman Horsford well, that district. His state Senate district being, you know, a place where you need to be able to compete, and I think he knows that area well. And so this is why structurally it's kind of difficult, I think, at the top of the ticket to see them doing well, because then where's the collapse going to happen? If you look at 2014 as an example, you saw the collapse deep, right? And so all these candidates that were saying at the bottom of the ticket, well, I think they're going to win. Well, there's going to be, if it's close, then a couple of them are going to lose. And so that's the thing, I think, the volatility, right?
All right, let's take another break, and we'll be right back with this great All Pundit show after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York. And because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show going here with Alex Goff, the Democratic National Committeeman, John Sandy, the fourth principal with Argentum Partners, and Amy Tarkanian, former Republican State Party chair. So Amy, all eyes on Washoe County here, because Washoe County has been traditionally known as the swing county and the swing state. Does this election, and now that you live up in Northern Nevada, does this election tell the tale of what the future is for Washoe County and the state?
Well, if we want to go back and look at the registration numbers once again, Washoe does lean blue. So I think that it's most likely going to go to Biden. I don't believe that our state overall is going to go to the president. I think it's going to be a nail biter. And I know the Republican Party up here is trying very hard. They purchased billboards with certain messaging to try to entice people and coerce them to vote Republican. So it'll be interesting.
John? And is there still a problem with the state Republican Party in terms of organization versus the Democrats?
Well, I think there's a very visible gap between the organization of the Democrat Party and the Republican Party in our state. I think the Democrats have done a good job under a number of people, but you know Harry Reid still had put that organization into place. It really is a fine-tuned machine, and it works really well, especially at getting out the vote and others. So, yes, I think that organization will be key for the Democrats, especially in Washoe County, because I agree. I think Washoe County is the swing county and the swing state. If President Trump is going to win Nevada, he needs to take Washoe, and I tend to agree. I think that's going to be a tough task for him.
With 50,000 new homes needed in Washoe County over the next 10 years, a lot of people are going to be coming from California. There's concern that those people are going to be coming over as Democrats, but there's a lot of conservative business people who are just tired of all the rules and regulations in California. So are you as confident that all the people that are coming are going to be Democrats versus Republicans?
I think that like political scientists literature shows that if a certain area is so dense that they have Democrats representing them, right? So if you look at Washoe County, if you look at Sparks and Reno, both of the cities have Democratic voter registration leads. It's the rural outlying areas of Washoe that keeps it really close to where now that the Republicans have under 700 voter registration advantage. And so Washoe County, as you said, is the swing county and the swing state. Washoe County is where you win and you lose your elections. And specifically, you know, I always point people to Adam Laxalt's performance in Assembly District 25. That's a district where they have a strong voter registration advantage. The incumbent Assemblywoman Jill Tolles performs great out there. He only beat Steve Sisolak by 2 points in that district. If you perform like that in Assembly District 25 and some of the other Republican Assembly districts up here, you underperform the candidates, 26. You have no shot of winning Washoe County, and then ultimately what we're saying is you have no shot to win the state.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Terrific show. Really appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.